Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
They've forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. When I read those, it was like, boom, punch in the chest. My people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the source, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Let me unpack this a little further. Back in the day, Palestine had three types of water. The first water is the best kind of water. It's fresh running water. It comes from a bubbling stream or a spring. This water was called living water. And then the second kind of water was groundwater. It's the stuff that pools underground. It's the stuff that you might pull from a well, that you send a bucket down, but it's been sat in the ground. It's second best stuff. But you put your bucket in and you draw it out by a rope. And then the third and worst kind of water is collected water. Water that runs off stuff. Water that's collected in cisterns, big pits, bowls, whatever. It's what they're doing in Cape Town right now. They've run out of natural springs. There's no water to pull from the ground. And so everybody, whether rich or poor, is putting bowls and pots and baths and paddling pools and swimming pools. They're emptying them in order that when it rains, they might be able to collect every drop. They've got all these creative systems that take the water from the roof. I think it's called guttering. And it like takes all the water from the roof into these pots so that every drop can be saved. When you're desperate, you go to desperate measures. When you're desperately thirsty, you'll do whatever it takes to get water. God is using these descriptions to describe the nature of the relationship between him and his people. Be appalled, O heavens, and shudder with great horror. My people, my devoted, my beloved, my lovers, my very own have forsaken me, the number one water, the spring of living water. God says, I'm the best water. I'm the running water. I'm fresh. I'm flowing. I'm natural. I am the living water, and you have forsaken me. You've given up on me, and you've chosen not even the second best water. You've chosen for yourself to try and satisfy yourself with the worst kind of water. You've dug for yourself cisterns to collect water for yourself. What God is saying is, this stuff is madness. Be appalled, heavens, because this stuff doesn't make any sense. Why would you give up Buxton Spring for rainwater that's run off your roof with all the sand and all the dust and the stuff that's collected? It's shocking. It's appalling. The first sin, forsaking the best for the worst. You know, I was sharing in prison from John 10:10, classic verse. And I was talking about life and life to the full. And I was saying that Jesus gives us life to the full because he's the good shepherd that gives up the best of his life, lays down his life for his sheep. So we get the life of Christ, the full life of Christ. What incredible grace that Christ would give up the best of himself for the worst of us. That's the exchange that's precious. That's the exchange of grace. But what great offense sits with those who've received the fullness of Christ, the spring of living water, and then say, nah, don't really want that. Don't really need that. Because we can make for ourselves our own thing. We've got a way of collecting water for ourselves. Why would we bother with a spring of living water when we can make muddy water? The second sin is that they dig cisterns for themselves. Cisterns were big pits, often dug into like limestone and lined with clay. to try and keep them watertight. What God is saying here is not only did they exchange the best water for the worst, but they tried to create a source for themselves. They became self-reliant. They tried to satisfy their thirst themselves. If God is the living water, then digging your own cistern to catch water for yourself is like trying to make yourself God. If God is the natural, life-sustaining source, then digging your own system is like fabricating God. God says what they're digging was broken. Whenever they lay their hand to, whenever they dig out the pit, it's like it can't hold water. Maybe they didn't line it right or it got a crack in it or something. But whenever the rain came and began to fill, it just seeped away, went away into the ground. It was such a bad source. It did not satisfy them. It was ineffective. They tried to find a way of sustaining and satisfying themselves, but it just didn't work. It held no water. What's so ironic is that later on in Jeremiah's ministry, if you read on in the book of Jeremiah into chapter 38, Jeremiah was thrown into the cistern as his punishment for bringing the word of the Lord. And when he falls in, it's not like he falls into a beautiful baptistry full of fresh, clean water. He falls into a cistern that has no water. It's just mud. It's so ironic that the word of the Lord came to the people of Jerusalem about the cistern. You've created yourself a cistern. It's broken. It holds no water. All it does is collect mud. And there Jeremiah sinks into the very prophecy that he brings. Why would they bother? They were offered the best and they chose the worst. God offers to satisfy and sustain them and they go it alone. They're super ungrateful. They're super untrusting. They must have thought, well, sooner or later, springs run dry. Sooner or later, God will give up on us. And so they thought they'd begin to build something for themselves. So they had no need of God. They didn't want to have to rely on him. They didn't want to have to be in need of him. They wanted to be in charge. I felt the challenge here. Having walked with God, been led by his hand into the desert, a place where I needed him, a place, a barren place, a dry place, where I couldn't have done it unless he sustained me and satisfied me, I find myself now hearing the word of the Lord. Sam, why have you got a spade in your hand? Why are you digging? Why are you trying to sustain yourself? Why are you trying to satisfy yourself? Have you forgotten me and the life that I give? I can see how it happens, you know. We pursue God so passionately. We're so in need of him. We'll go anywhere. We'll do anything. We find ourselves in desert places. There is no water. And so we're 100% reliant and dependent upon him to provide. But then he moves us from the desert into a spacious place, a place of abundance, a place of provision, a place of safety and comfort. Like the Israelites taken from the desert into the land flowing with milk and honey. And it's there when they've got it all on tap that they're like, so the stuff we needed in the desert, well, we don't need that anymore. We've got honey and we've got milk. From the desert to the pasture land. So we settle and we get comfortable. Even in a place like Openshaw, you know, it's become comfortable to me now. I live opposite the park. We've got a Costa coffee. You know, it's all right. A land flowing with coffee and milk. We get used to life. We take things for granted. And we forget the thirst. And we therefore forget the source. And I love how Jesus picks this up in his ministry. We read about it when he's talking with that Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, a passage you'll have heard so many times before. In the heat of the day, he goes to a well while his disciples are off trying to find a Mackey's. And he meets this Samaritan woman who's there trying to avoid people. And Jesus goes up to her and says, can you give me a drink? And she's all shocked and she says, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answers her, if you knew the gift of God and who asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life. Jesus, drinking from the well, describes the spring that builds up like a fountain. Jesus, tired and thirsty from the hot journey, describes a supernatural water that quenches and satisfies the thirst eternally. Jesus, drinking second-class water, describes himself as the source of living water to a very undeserving Samaritan woman at the break, at the middle of the day, when she shouldn't be there. Jesus points to the source, the fountain of eternal life. Almost like the fountain of eternal youth. You know that big quest to try and find the drink that will keep you alive. And Jesus reveals it while he sat alongside a dirty well with a dirty woman, begins to tell her about the source. And he kind of says, I'm the source. I love this stuff. A woman full of sin and unworthiness. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords reveals the source of eternal life to a woman who does not deserve to know. This is the kingdom of God. It's an upside down kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be satisfied. You know, the only requirement is thirst. Those who come thirsty. And so the question is this. Are you thirsty? Are you sick of second class or third class dirty water? Do you want to be sustained and satisfied? I don't know about you, but I try so many things that I find do not satisfy me. I try so many things that do not make a difference to the thirst. And the call is to come back thirsty to the source of living water. Jesus is the source and his spirit is the water. Later on in John's gospel, we can't shift it. Jesus is always on about this stuff. John 7, 38. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. If you're thirsty, come, and I will give you springs, fountains, overflowing with living water. I just love this. You know what? The work of the Spirit, because Christ said it was in my interest to go. Why? That I might leave the Spirit with you. Because where the Spirit is, Christ dwells. And if he's the source of living water, if he's in within us, the fountain of living water is going to be ever produced. We don't have to go anywhere. This is why we will never thirst again. Those who are filled with the Spirit, have Christ living within them, will overflow with life-giving, eternal-giving water. The question is, are you thirsty enough? Are you thirsty? Do you recognize your need of God? Or have you dug for yourself in your backyard a nice clay pit, hoping to collect dirty rainwater? The Lord says, taste and see that I'm good. Taste and see that that isn't. It's about time you realize the stuff that is keeping you going, the stuff that is sustaining you, is not good enough. Come back to Christ, the source of living water. Let him fill you afresh with his Spirit. Come, taste and see that he is good. Know the satisfying power of Christ made known by his Spirit.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.